Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folks must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money, major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems, so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything. We'll be right back.
for another installment of It's My House. We had some requests from you guys after we had a guest on with, what's the Saturday, 2 days ago, or 3 days ago. He did 2 days in a row. On mobile homes, he bought a, Sherrick, that's his name, bought a house for, he wasn't speaking on mobile homes specifically, but he, I think he bought something for, $1,500, sold it for $17,000. So I got a bunch of calls and texts. You want to learn more about mobile homes. So today, that's what we're doing. We went to somebody I met a few years ago. Hills, that's spelled H-E-E-L-S, Hills Deals, today's podcast is titled, matter of fact, Hills Deals and Wills with Kelly Harden, 619-768-2945 is the live stream number. Good, I guess it's good morning where you are, Kelly.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm better than terrific. Well, I took the title from your well, that's your brand, Hills, Deals, and Wheels. So before you get into how you came up with that brand name, tell us something about yourself.
Well, I am retired military. I was in the Army for about 20 years. And when I got out of the military, I did something real crazy, and I bought my dream home. And so I had to pay for my dream home, so I had to go back to work. And so I fly back and forth between Texas and California for work. I live in Texas, but I work in California. And we actually met a couple of years ago at a tiny home convention.
Yeah,
and
that was about,
I was really,
see.
I was.
That's about
I'm
five,
sorry.
6 years, six, what, about five
yeah.
years ago, something like that?
About 5 years ago, yeah. We met at a tiny home convention because I was really interested in the tiny homes. And you were real savvy at it. I didn't know too much about it, but we had fun there. We met, and we just stayed connected ever since. And then from that point on, I really started looking into mobile homes. And I took a little course, and I just ran with it. And I've been business partners with my little brother. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. And I'm following you too.
Now, let me ask you this. Why mobile homes?
Because it's so inexpensive, and people don't believe me when I tell them you can even get them for free. You could get them for free. A lot of people, they would like to upgrade, like you like to upgrade your car. And sometimes
right.
the car might be so raggedy, you don't care who takes the car. You just want somebody to take the car off your hands so you could get you a new one. And it's the same thing with a mobile home. I have gotten so many free mobile homes, so many inexpensive mobile homes. It's ridiculous. And people don't believe me. But the drawback is sometimes when you get a free one, you have to move it. That's the only catch.
Well, I never heard that philosophy on it. Because I guess we all know somebody that they might upgrade a car every 2 years.
Right, right.
Simply to, when the warranty runs out, you don't have to worry about heavy maintenance bills.
Right.
All right. I've been aware of mobile homes since the early 80s, but I just never even considered it. And then I started to notice in my YouTube news feeds people getting into it, and then I saw you getting to it, and I said, wait a minute. And then my audience had a lot of feedback this past week on it. So I said, well, let me take a closer look at this. Let me ask you this. Now, a lot of people – now, you were a landlord with regular brick-and-mortar real estate prior to getting into mobile homes. Am I correct?
Right. I still am a landlord. However, I have my tenants that are actually in my homes. I have them on month-to-month. I'm praying that they leave, because the second they leave, I'm taking that money and buying mobile homes.
Okay. Well, you don't really take – well, you've been doing it, what, about a year now?
A year and a half.
Oh, year and a half, 18 months. Okay, now, there's a distinction between real estate and mobile homes. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Because I've got some real estate, but I'm not really big on real estate now. When people ask me what I do, I say housing. And mm-hmm. I break it down because there's a distinction between housing and real estate. Real estate has a housing component to it, but anything that's, well, any brick and mortar that's permanently attached to the ground is considered real estate. And then your de facto partner is the local taxing authority, which can, they come out every year, they tax it, they tax assess it. You got to pay a tax bill. You don't pay the tax bill, the property's up for auction. Now, are mobile homes considered private property or real estate?
Mobile homes are considered personal property. They can be considered
personal property. Yeah.
Yeah. They can be considered real estate, like you said, if you fixate them to the ground. The second you cement them to the ground, they turn into real estate. So why would you do that, especially if you own that mobile home? Because you're going to be taxed the same as somebody who has a single family home that might live down the street.
Right. And
so
I think that's a very important distinction mm-hmm. that a lot of they just don't know.
Right. And so I have tenants that pay $40 to $800 worth of taxes per year in the mobile homes. Now, you know, single mm-hmm. family homes, that can go into thousands and thousands of dollars. So
you're
why
right.
would somebody want to do that? Why would somebody want to do that? I don't know. Maybe they want the mobile home to look more like a single family home, but I don't know why somebody would want to do that. But yes, mobile homes is considered personal property as long as you do not cement them to the ground.
Well, that's the school of thought I am. I don't need it to be permanently attached. Well, how did you get started specifically?
Well, I actually I was like you said, I do own a couple of single family homes, and I'm like, you know what? Who can afford to pay a single family home off quickly? I know I can't, and I make very good money, and so I said there has to be a different way. And I just started looking on YouTube, and I found a course on YouTube, and I was just trying to learn just by looking at the YouTube videos. They're only going to tell you but so much. And finally, I just paid for a course, and I took off from there, and I said, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to be all the way in. So I went and immediately got my license, which you don't need a license to be in this business. I immediately went and got my license. So I am licensed in the state of Texas to sell and buy mobile homes. And it just took off from there. And from the first day I took the test to get my license, which the test is open book in most states, except for, I believe, in California, it's not open book. I think within maybe 4 to 7 days, I bought my first mobile home, and it sold in a matter of 2 weeks. The second home after that sold in a matter of 15 minutes.
Good Lord, hold it, man.
Yeah.
All right. Let's break down some of what. Let me process some of what you said already.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you said now you mm-hmm. don't need a license to get into the business as far as buying.
You don't.
Okay. So you can buy as much as you want without a license.
Okay. Now, different states have different rules. Some states say you need a license. Some states say you don't need a license. Some states say you can only buy two or three. But if you're wholesaling, your name is not going on anything official. So
right.
in all actuality, if you're wholesaling a mobile home, you don't have to say, oh, I can only buy three this year, or I can only buy four this year. And if you really think about it, if your state is telling you you can only buy three or four, what would you do? The solution would be to, like, I have a brother that's in business with me. If I didn't have a license and Texas told me I can only buy three mobile homes, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to have I'm going to put three mobile homes in my brother's name. I'm going to put three mobile homes in my mother's name. There's ways to get around that.
Okay. Let's see. Now, for the people that don't know what the term wholesaling means, what does that mean? Could you paint us a visual for that when it comes to mobile homes?
Okay, so wholesaling basically means you're connecting a buyer with a seller. That's all. And people wholesale all day long. So when you're wholesaling a mobile home, you're going to find a buyer. Let's say the buyer wants $10,000 for their mobile home. And then you find a, the seller wants $10,000 for their mobile home. And so you go and find a buyer, and the buyer is looking for a mobile home. And you say, hey, I have a mobile home, but the seller is wanting $15,000 for that mobile home. So you collect the difference between what the seller is wanting for the mobile home, the $10,000, and what the buyer is willing to pay, the $15,000. So you would collect $5,000 just from knowing the seller and the buyer, because without you, they would have never known each other.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, because I've never done one of these type of transactions before, with a typical brick-and-mortar deal, you're going through a title company.
Right.
Well, you could do a. Well, no, I want to get into a sample. So, with mobile homes, how is that? How do you close those transactions? Do you use a title company or what?
Well, it depends from state to state. Whatever state you're in, sometimes you do need a title company. A lot of times, you just do it through the DMV. In the state of Texas, we actually do it, all of our transactions on the computer. And so we're just, you know, we're able to find out if there's any liens or any taxes due on the property. And we're actually able to transfer the title and everything on the computer. And then we fax the information in, and then we're able to transfer the title that way. But it depends on what state you're in. And my course goes over all that. It'll tell you what you need to do, whatever state you're in. It won't be any guesswork of what you need to do.
All right. Now, you said you closed your first deal, you closed on in about, 2 weeks, something like that?
And the only reason why that took longer is because I actually did some rehab on that particular home.
Okay. And the second one, you sold it within 15 minutes. Now, what are you... How are you doing your selling platforms? Are you doing open houses or online, you know, like Facebook Marketplace, something like that?
Yeah, I do Facebook Marketplace. And my little brother, Joel Harden, he does a lot of the open houses for me. And but with my second deal, how I closed that in 15 minutes, I actually didn't even own that home. I actually was coming out of the driveway of the first home that I sold. And I was blocked in by a family of three. They jumped out of the car. I'm like, I was kind of scared. I'm like, what do they want? And they said, Kelly, there's a house down the street. We want you to buy this house for us. We don't have $9,000 cash. If you buy the house for us, we'll be willing to pay you $35,000. And my mouth was wide open. The only thing they wanted me to do is to build a wheelchair ramp onto their home. And that cost me about $3,200 for their son who was handicapped. I charged them $35,000. They gave me a deposit of $7,000, so I pretty much got my $9,000 back. And now they've been making payments. And then when you tack on the principal and interest, they're going to be owing me close to like $53,000 over 8 years.
You must be living real good. That one fell right in your lap.
Yeah, that one fell right in my lap.
It originally was $9,000, but they told you they were willing to pay $35,000.
Right, because they were really in dire straits. They lived in one of these apartment complexes that, you know, catered to the handicapped, and they were paying $2,200 in rent at that apartment complex. And they told me by purchasing my mobile home, that would cut their expenses right in half between the lot rent and what I was going to charge them for the mobile home mortgage.
All right, I'm impressed.
And they did their own rehab on the inside of the house. The only thing me and my brother had to do was find somebody. We found a contractor to construct the wheelchair ramp for them.
Okay. Now... All right, so you got a business model that you wholesale as well as you buy, fix up, and turn, or as most people say today, flip. Now, do you keep any just strictly for cash flow, rental income, passive income?
Oh, yes. We have currently 6 mobile homes right now that we actually keep. And so we keep them for monthly cash flow. And we're working on the 7th deal right now. We've only been in business for a month and a half, and we're cash flowing right now $7,900 a month.
Mm, impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive. Now, you're a registered nurse. That, I guess that's
right.
Your so-called, if they call it a day job.
You can call mine a night job because I work night shift.
Okay. So now it for within your because that's how we met you and another lady, young lady, when we met in Vermont, two traveling nurses at that tiny house summer camp. Do you recommend that also for other people in the nursing profession or any whatever they're doing to get into mobile homes?
Any profession, you know, any profession, because especially with this pandemic, who can really afford a single family home these days? Who can say I got a free mobile home, or who can say I paid $3,000 for my house? Nobody can afford a single family home these days. So things are getting tight for people, and I believe the mobile home business, that's where it's at, and that's why I jumped into it, because people are going to need somewhere to stay. People are going to need a roof over their head, and what better place than a mobile home?
You know, I agree with you on that, because to live in particularly in the largest cities, there are over 19,000 cities in the United States, and about the top, the 10 or 11 that have a million people or more living in them. I think 16,000 towns in the United States, which is that's like 80%, 75%, have 5,000 or less people. So places like Chicago, Dallas, the Bay Area, where I think you're at,
right?
You got to sort of be wealthy to live in those cities now.
Exactly.
In a single family home. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
So
I mean,
$35,000, that's reasonable.
Yeah. Well, here in California, I mean, you'd still be living in the hood if you have a home that's $500,000. You still have bars on your windows. That's ridiculous. You don't have any grass. You don't have anywhere to park your car. And for $500,000, it seemed like you would be living better than that.
That's true. You're right about that. And the property taxes, I'm sure, are outrageous, because I got a house in D.C. The property taxes on that is like $5,000 a year.
Right. And when you and I went to the tiny home convention, the thing that kind of turned me off about the tiny home, they're talking about, well, if you want to move it, you have to have one of those F-150 trucks. Well, that thing costs about $70,000 by itself. So
yeah,
now
that
you got
was,
to
Yeah, what's that lady's name? Vera Stuck, yes, because she had her tiny house up there, and I think she moved it on a truck or something like that.
Who can afford that? Now you need a tiny home, and then you need an F-150 truck that costs $70,000. No, that's just too much, in my opinion. I know I wouldn't want to pay all that kind of money.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. Matter of fact, some people... In my opinion, anything over $25,000 in the tiny house world, and this is just L.A.'s opinion, is not a tiny house. Because you like the Georgetown section of Washington, D.C., I don't know if you've been there before. They've got small little – they got tiny houses in some areas of that city. But, you know, you're going to pay $300,000, $400,000, maybe up to almost $1 million to live in some of those. But I don't consider those tiny houses. So for me, the cap on a tiny house is $25,000 in price, and no more than four hundred square feet. That's anything above that is a small house, not a tiny house. But getting back to mobile homes, all right. So there are people that are giving them away for free. So if a person now, that sounds good, but what are some of the caveats that people need to be aware of if somebody goes on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace and they see mobile home free, and they need a place to stay, but they need to be prepared for what?
They need to be prepared. Nine times out of ten, the person is going to who's giving this home away for free is going to want that home moved off of their lot. And depending on what state you are in, it's going to cost you about $2,500 to move that home off of the lot. Of course, when you move it off of the lot, or before you move it off of the lot, you have to make sure it's worth moving off the lot. It might be not. It might not even make it down the street. So I always, you know, make sure I have a contractor with me because I don't want any surprises when we get to moving at home. Now, I personally, when I find these free homes, I wholesale them because I don't want to be dealing with no headache. You get it down the street and it doesn't even make it. So I normally wholesale those type of homes. That's what I do.
So
I
you don't even move it. You just wholesale it from the location that it's currently at.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that's a pure profit. Yeah. Now, I like that business model.
Yeah. I'm not gonna take any chances. And thank goodness, one situation I didn't take a chance, and I told the guy I'm wholesaling this home. I was very transparent with him, and by the time he got it to his destination, he took it down the street without having a contractor. And sure enough, when he got it down the street, the roof was a mess. What I could see, it wasn't a mess, but I'm not a contractor. And he wound up having to pay like $8,000 for a roof. But he got a home for free. So is $8,000, I don't think that's a lot of money when you got a mobile home for free.
That's true. Now, what about the contracts? Now, to tie that up, because let's say you're wholesaling. So you found this house for free. You're not going to move it. You probably might not even visit the house. I don't know.
I haven't visited the house several times. Yes.
Okay. So how do you protect yourself? You do a contract with the the seller.
Well, I do a contract with the seller, and you know what? People call me all the time. Hey, Kelly, can you send me your contract? The contract is just a little cheesy piece of paper, something that's typed up. You agree to sell your house for X amount of dollars, and that's it. And then I have a contract with the buyer. You agree to buy this home for X amount of dollars, and that's it.
Exactly,
and that's what I do. A lot of times I use a remote notary. Half of the time, these people, when I'm connecting them, a lot of times I don't even ever meet them.
Okay. Well, I like that business model all the way. Well, matter of fact, before we go any further, now you offer a course. So tell us about the course and how can people get a hold of it?
Okay, so my course is hosted on Vimeo. It's called Heels, Deals, and Wheels Mobile Home Investing Course. And it's all videos. There will be absolutely no reading whatsoever. It's all videos. I walk through what you look for when you're looking at a mobile home. We talk about the year of the mobile home. We talk about the roof of the mobile home. We talk about how to talk to if the mobile home is in the park. Really, the park manager is running the whole show. So you have to build a rapport with that park manager. If you can't get past that park manager, there will be no buying of mobile homes in that particular park. So I go over every scenario, and my course is actually building and building. You know, I'm not charging anybody any extra. It's over 20 hours worth of video footage. I also have the contracts there. I show you where to find the mobile homes. I show you how to post the ad. One thing I will say, if you don't know anything about using a computer, this is going to be a hard business for you to be in because you have to have some kind of computer skills. To post ads on Facebooks and this, that, and the other. But my course goes over everything. And I have learned from some of the best. And also with my course, you will also receive a 7-series mobile home park audio course. Because after you get in this business, your next step is that you want to buy a mobile home park. That's the whole thing. Everybody wants to buy a park after they've been in this business a while, and that's something that I aspire to do as well. but my course has everything. Currently, it's only $199, and that price will be going up very soon because I have partnered with a guy out in Houston. His name is CJ from CJ University, and he tells you how to use your credit cards instead of using your own cash in order to invest in real estate and mobile homes.
Okay.
So my course covers it all.
Now, what about, are you doing any, or plan on doing any live events, like we met at a live event, and or Zoom or both of them?
If you want to Zoom, we could Zoom. On occasion, I do go live on Facebook. I just recently went live like 3 or 4 days ago. You have my personal phone number. You got any questions, you can contact me personally. I know you and I had talked about some live stuff, and I probably need to venture out and do some things like that in the future. But I'm not going to lie. Right now, I don't have anything live planned. You will notice in other courses, a course I actually paid for, I'm not going to mention any names. I actually paid $6,000 for that course. And from what I understand, it's up to $8,000 and they're taking payment plans. But my whole mindset is when you pay that kind of money, how are you going to have money to buy a mobile home if you're giving them $6,000 to $8,000?
Now, you know, we're on the exact same page with that because people have been offering these real estate boot camps for years, and those prices that you just quoted and higher, and I've never taken one of those. I mean, I've taken courses in the, like years ago, but those prices I'm looking at for that kind of money, I may as well just buy something. And that's what I started to do, because I got into real estate like in 83. That's when I got started. But for if you charge. Because I'm spoiled. I'll go find a house for, well, now I'm building. But I used to get online and find houses I used to go on eBay and buy houses for like $500, $1,000, $2,000, that price range. Now I'll buy the land, and then I'll build the structure. That's where I'm at right now. All right, so you people have their phones now, so I guess you can do this. If you got a phone and an internet connection, you can do this business of mobile homes.
Right.
And now with your course, which is $199, I guess that comes along with you, and I guess you can sort of help them walk. You can walk them through it. Of course, they need to go through the videos first, though.
Oh, yeah. I would appreciate it if they would go through the videos first, because a lot of times my students call me and they've done a video or two, and now they got like a bunch of questions that's going to be answered throughout the course. But you have my personal phone number. I'm here for you. Matter of fact, I've been answering other people who have taken other courses. I've been answering their questions. But my brother said, hey, we need to stop that, you know, because whoever the instructor of that other course is, they need to deal with their students, you know.
Right.
So I'm going to stop taking those phone calls because I need to really concentrate on my students. But, you will not be disappointed. I have not had not one complaint out of anybody. I will say that Vimeo is hosted on Vimeo. They're very strict about sharing the link. So if you think you're going to pay $199 and share my link, you will get locked out. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
Well, you can't beat $199. And if a person's serious, I mean, because 20 hours of videos, people binge watch on Netflix now.
Right.
20 hours over a weekend. If you're serious about your money, this seems to be the way to go. Let's say the aspect of you're virtually wholesaling, that means you can basically look for transactions or do transactions, rather, anywhere in the continental United States, I imagine.
Anywhere. But what I like to do with my virtual wholesaling, I like to have somebody to have some boots on the ground. I don't like to do this blindly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have a couple of students that they do this blindly, but I don't like doing that. I like to at least somebody, you know, have somebody there to say, hey, Kelly, you know, we should ask for this dollar amount. You know, the floor looks good. The electricity seems like it's working. You know, I don't want to just go based off of pictures because I got a reputation and I don't want the seller to be upset with me later on or the buyer to be upset with me later on. And plus, you never want the buyer and the seller ever to ever meet each other, you know.
Right.
Because then they'll figure out this lady is going to make a big profit off of me. So you don't never want them to meet. So if I have boots on the ground, that's going to, you know, keep them from ever meeting.
That's true. I've heard some people with the brick and mortar stuff, transaction just, how do they get around that? With, what do they call it, a simultaneous close or double closing? That's why I went to building. Because the building is in my head. I go buy the materials, and then I'm the one who's got it. So that's how I handle it.
And then another thing. I mean, those of you who are trying to dodge the IRS, a lot of these people give you cash. You know, especially the down payment, they bring wads of cash. You know, a lot of these people don't even trust their monies to be in the bank.
Yeah.
So
now,
that's another way of looking at it.
Now speaking of that, what I call the sweet spot, because if you're selling something out here and you're asking for, let's say, $100,000, a lot of people don't have $100,000 that they can put their hands on. But there's a whole lot of people that can put their hands on $5,000 or $10,000. Like when I was doing eBay auctions, you know, $6,000 seemed to be the sweet spot for those type of auctions we were doing. What would be the sweet spot or spots for mobile homes? Like you had the family that wanted you to buy that house for them, but they gave you $7,000. So what's a sweet spot as far as cash goes out here, if you're selling for cash?
If I'm selling the mobile home?
Mm-hmm. For cash.
All cash. I try to get 100% return on my money.
Mm-hmm.
So if I spend hypothetically $10,000 on a mobile home, anything 20 and above, I'm happy.
Okay.
And I have received anywhere from 100 to 300 to, one of my students actually got 800% return on her investment. She spent $2,000 on the mobile home and sold it for $18,000.
I love those type of returns.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, because for people that are not familiar with mobile homes, because I'm learning stuff myself. I ran across, matter of fact, if I can find the audio on that, so you can hear what, so everybody can hear it. Have you read, I'm trying to look up this audio. Are you familiar with Lonnie Scruggs, his book?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I met that dude like in Norfolk, Virginia. Oh, man. When was it? The early 2000s? But I've never read his book. What do you think about his book?
I love it. And everybody who's in the business, and even I go over that book a little bit in my course, everybody who's in the mobile home business needs to read that book. It's old, but it still, you know, it still applies today. And boy, that's impressive that you actually met him.
Yeah, I met him in Norfolk, Virginia. I was at a wholesaling workshop on brick and mortar stuff. And I got into real estate in 1983. Up in D.C. But I heard about them, but I just never got into mobile homes for whatever reason, because I started in D.C. and did stuff in Baltimore and in Detroit and some other cities. So I was all in the city. But then when I got stuck with my D.C. house with a squatter, and about 2011, 2000, that was a nightmare there. Then I learned a whole lot about real estate, what it was it what it wasn't. I went to law school for a year on that. And then I just switched, you know what, I'm going to the country. And I started buying acres of land because it just made more sense to me. I want to play this. Hold on, let me get right the video here. I mean audio. All right, let me play this, and I want your comment on it.
Okay.
Also tonight, the incredible transformation and the Buffalo Strong spirit that made it all happen. 7 Eyewitness News reporter Taylor Epps shows us how a young lady has completed her very own renovation project.
11-year-old Lauren Nelson had big plans for her summer.
I thought it was going to be pretty fun, but with COVID going on, it was going to be not as fun as it could be.
But things changed one day when she was flipping through an American Girl doll magazine at her home in Attica.
And she showed us a $650 VW bus. My husband was like, that's ridiculous. You could buy your own camper for that price.
So she did just that. Lauren saved some money and started looking. A neighbor just down the road had this 20-foot camper that caught her eye.
And then the one day up popped a for sale sign and she squealed the whole way home
and she started negotiating.
It wasn't very hard. He said $500 and I said $400 because that was the money that I had in my bank account. He said sold.
Then it was time to renovate.
It was a process. We brought home a family of mice. And so there was a lot of deep cleaning,
but that didn't stop her.
I was very motivated because I really wanted a place where I could just, like, hang out like my own house.
The whole renovation process took Lauren about 2 months, and with the help of family and friends, she was able to turn this into this.
It's called Camp Hygge. It means very comfortable and safe. It has its own kitchen and bathroom, so it's like a tiny house.
So now you're the owner of a tiny home at 11 years old.
Yes.
The whole project cost her $800.
She has 3 envelopes that she puts her money in, give, save, and spend. I think she made a really good choice. She now says she's part of the Tiny Home Nation.
She was able to turn her summer around and hopes to inspire others to do the same.
Which is awesome to see that somebody who's 11 years old had her own vision but now is out there and other people are contacting us and they've gone out and bought a camper to do the same thing.
If you're looking to have some big plans in the future, you should go out and do it. Make it happen.
In Attica, Taylor Epps, 7 Eyewitness News.
Okay, Kelly, let's see, she's about 12 years old now, but she bought, now here's the question I have to ask. The term that they use, and I got all that off YouTube, is a camper. Mm-hmm. Now, is there a distinction between a camper and a mobile home?
Well, yeah, a camper is something like you could take, you hook on one of those F-150 trucks and you drive down the street with it. A mobile home, you can't do that. You can't hook that onto a F-150. So there's a big difference. And that young lady, I don't know how old she is today, but I'm sure she's going to be
12,
owning
12
either
years old
a,
right now.
12, oh, she's 12
years old right now. Yeah.
By the time she's 18 or maybe even 20, she's probably going to own a tiny home community or maybe even a mobile home park the way she's going, because that was very impressive. But, yeah, I do not deal with RVs and all that kind of stuff, because if you really think about it, if you're buying and selling RVs, that's fine. But if you're buying and selling that on payments, what's to keep somebody from driving away with your RV?
That's true.
And still owing you money.
That's true. But hold it. But in a mobile home park, they're mobile. So can't they do
they're
the
mobile,
same thing? I mean, it won't be as easy.
Oh, it won't be easy at all. Number one, you have to have permission. Number two, you have to have permits. And number three, that is normally done in the daytime because mobile homes are pretty big and you have to think about the safety of the community. And number four, what reputable mover is going to move that home without the proper paperwork?
Permit. Well,
touché. Yeah.
Touché, you got me on that.
So, but the RV, that's similar to a large car. What's the keep? That's just like if you have a car for sale. and you're going to have somebody pay you payments, what's to keep this guy from running off with your car?
That's true. That's true. And then you got to hire a snatch man. That's going to cost money, and that's a whole another kettle of fish. Now, the mobile home park, if somebody wanted to own one of those, what do you know about that business?
Well, like I said, in my course,
What do they call it, mobile home park or mobile home community?
Either one.
Okay.
But in my course I offer, it's very detailed. But like I said, once you get into this business, you are going to want to own a park. And the park may only consist of 4 homes, 6 homes, you know, but you are going to want to do it. Because if you really think about it, if you own the park, not only will you own the mobile home 9 times out of 10, but you will also own the land that the home sits on. So hypothetically,
right,
if the lot rent is $500, and then you also own that home and you're charging them $500, you're getting $1,000 a month from one home.
Hmm. I like that.
Now, what if you've got land already? Now, I also go into that in my course as well. It is very hard to start up a park. And financially, I don't know when you're going to get a profit, because you have to worry about the sewer, the electricity poles, and all that kind of stuff. So I would recommend that you would already buy a park that's in existence versus starting from scratch. You know, my pockets aren't that long to be trying to start something from scratch. I'd rather already deal with something that's already in existence and start that from that point on.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there, like, you have fixer-upper properties? Are they fixer-upper parks? I mean, like ghetto parks where, you know, you got to get rid of? Okay.
Definitely,
I figured,
yeah.
If you're going to get into something that somebody's got a headache with.
Headache, or maybe they're getting too old to even deal with it. Maybe they're tired of it. Maybe they've made all the money they can make and they just want to get rid of it. You know, so there are a lot of nice parks for sale.
Right. Now, some people, what about the people that are looking for something affordable, and they like the affordability of moving into a mobile home or renting one or what have you, but they're afraid that a tornado or something come through and blow it away?
That's just life. You could be in a single family home and a tornado can come. You know,
true.
That's just life. You know, actually, when I was roughly in my 20s, that was years ago, I actually was on the verge of moving into an apartment complex. And the day I was supposed to move, they had a big tornado. And guess what? The same apartment that I was supposed to move in, it got tore down. So that's just life. You know, that's a risk. I mean, by no means am I saying a mobile home is like a single family home. It's as sturdy as a single family home. No, but you're paying a fraction of the cost. You know, I'm not saying you're putting your life at risk, you know, to be in a mobile home. I'm not saying that. I would feel very comfortable living in one. But what I'm saying is it's not a single family home by no means. So I don't want nobody to think, oh, it's just as sturdy, because it's not. I'm not going to sit here and lie to people. But if your pockets are light, then this is what you might want to think about, living in a mobile home.
And most people that live in mobile homes, nothing happens to those homes, to the average person, over the course of a lifetime.
And we get all kind of people. I actually had a lady that purchased my 4-bedroom, 2-bath mobile home. She was going through a divorce. She had a 7-bedroom single family home, so she had to downsize because she couldn't afford that home without her husband. So, you know, there are people that are trying to downsize, and they're going to downsize to mobile homes, and that's where me and my little brother come in.
Now, let me ask you this now. Mobile homes aren't do you know, like, the square footage of these homes that you're buying and selling?
Yeah. So the least of the square footage is 868 square feet, and I actually have that for sale right now. It's a two-bedroom, two-bath. And then the highest one, I think, is 1,068 square feet, and that was actually a four-bedroom, two-bath. And I tell you what, if you get your hands on a four-bedroom, two-bath or a five-bedroom, two-bath, people will pay almost anything for those mobile homes because they're seeing it like a looks like a single-family home.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. All right.
So,
well, I'm getting more interested myself.
I know. And my mother actually went driving the parks one day, and she found a mobile home. The guy wanted, it was a four-bedroom, two-bath. It was a 1983 mobile home, older mobile home, and he wanted $8,000 for it. We talked him down to $3,000. He took the money, and we sold it on payments for $59,500.
Hmm. Man, I'm sort of kicking myself. Like I said, I've been aware that, you know, and I, like I said, I met Lonnie Smith, I'm not Smith, Scruggs.
Scruggs,
he passed
yeah.
on, but, yeah, he passed on. But I met him in Norfolk, Virginia. He just dropped in on it, you know, he just dropped in on it. I mean, the topic that I was there for, it, you know, it dealt with brick and mortar stuff. But he dropped in and practically everybody knew him that was there. But it was about a group of about 30 people or something like that. But I never thought of buying his book.
And I tell you what, if you look on Amazon, his book is through the roof. So in my course, I actually give you the book. So,
oh.
You can, I mean, the book is kind of dated. And it's still
so
a very
yeah, yeah,
useful book.
I know
book.
You wrote it way back, but it's considered a classic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you check it out on Amazon and see the price of the book. It's going to cost you an arm and a leg, but the book is actually is free in my course.
Okay. Now, let's say somebody takes your course. You have a Facebook support group, private group for that for people, your students.
No, I do. I still work. I tell everybody I still work. A lot of the videos that I make, I'm in my car driving for dollars, driving for mobile homes. I still work, and right now I do not have a private Facebook page. Now, there are other courses that you could buy that have private Facebook page, but rest assured, you're going to pay $6,000 for that. So maybe
no,
later on.
No,
in
me
the future,
personally,
I
would
have
paid my $199.
Okay. Maybe later on when I have a little more free time, I will get a private Facebook page. But right now, I do not have one.
Now for the people that are looking for, because my mother, she passed away, I think I told you about a couple of years ago.
Yes.
She was an RN. And back then they called it, she did a lot of private duty. But
she was a CRNA. She was a CRNA. She was a nurse anesthetist.
Yeah, that's the one. She did anesthesia.
Get it right now. Get it right.
Hey, I grew up around a bunch of nurses, but I took all that for granted. But now for the nurses that are out there today, and there are different distinctions of nurses and whatnot, this sounds like a pretty interesting business to get into.
It is.
You know.
It is. And like I said, it doesn't matter if you're a nurse or whatever. But I tell you what, if you're unemployed, this is the best profession to be in. Because if you're wholesaling, you don't need any money. All you need is a tank of gas, an imagination, and a computer. That's all you need.
Right.
You connect a buyer with a seller, and voila, you got money without even having to put any money in.
Well, I'm in Florida, and I got property in Florida, D.C. Nobody has a mobile home in D.C., but Oklahoma and Texas. So there are plenty of mobile home parks all across the country. I do know that much.
In my course, I show you where to look. I show you where to look for all. I'll show you every mobile home in the United States. I show you all that information so you won't be running your tires ball trying to figure out where these parks are. I show you everything you need to know. I actually had a girl reach out to me, and I will tell you guys this. It is very important that you build a relationship with that park manager, because that park manager can make or break you. They can just say, hey, Kelly, you pissing me off today. Come move your mobile home. So you better build a rapport with them if you plan to be in this business.
Manager, that's the difference between the person who – the manager might not own the place. Am I correct?
No, the manager – right. The manager might not own the place, but best believe that that owner of that park trusts that manager. And whatever that manager says – because nine times out of ten, you probably won't even meet the owner. I have met a couple of owners a time or two. But that owner is going to listen to what that manager says. And I tell you what, I have two park managers. They send me so many homes, my head spins because, you know, I'm always giving them gift cards. They're always giving me houses. They're always giving me tenants for my homes. You know, they're always looking out for me, so I feel like I need to look out for them, too. And matter of fact, me and my brother actually rehabbed a home that we bought from the park, and then they wanted to buy the home back because they didn't want to do the rehab. Number one, the handy guy, he sucked. So they liked how we rehabbed the home. They wanted to buy it back, but the profit just wasn't there for us. So we had to tell them no. So we're actually we sold our last two bedroom, two bath on yesterday.
Okay.
So I'm gonna be in the market for another mobile home.
Now rehab, like if you rehab something in well, let's say Oakland or San Francisco or Dallas, Texas, someplace like that, some city like that, you typically have to pull permits. What about with mobile homes?
No, you don't have to do any kind of permits. Now, when you sell, and especially if you're licensed like myself, when you sell a mobile home to somebody, the person that is buying that mobile home can call the state on you. And the state has been called on me one time. And oddly enough, it was with the couple who I bought, installed the wheelchair ramp for. The reason why they call the state, they didn't like my contractor. My contractor and them had all these kind of conflicts, and they had the nerve to call the state on me, but it passed. But that was only one time. But there's no people coming out to inspect the home on a regular basis. That just doesn't happen in the mobile home business. Matter of fact, these homes are sold as is. We're not talking about no new mobile home. Yeah, they're sold as is, so you know what you're getting. However, the state still wants the home to be safe.
Right.
So you have to realize we're dealing with a lot of poor people. You know, a lot of them don't even know they can call the state. You know what I'm saying? But I let them know. If you have a problem, I like for you to come to me first so we can fix it before you call the state. But unfortunately, this one couple decided to call the state, and it wind up backfiring on them, and the wheelchair ramp was, you know, it was in rags. So and now we're getting monthly payments from them, you know, so. It's nothing like a single-family home. Matter of fact, it's easier than buying a car.
Man, I like the sound of this more and more. What about, okay, you don't need the permit. Oh, with brick and mortar and most of your major, like the major cities, it's one thing, you know, after you buy the building, go through the title work and all that, rehab the place, then you still have to get from the city a permit, a.k.a. permission, to get an occupancy permit to rent it out. What's the deal with mobile homes and when it comes to that?
You don't do any of that. Yeah.
I'm
you don't
sold.
Have to do any. And I'm not trying to be funny. You could do this on a piece
of
toilet paper.
I like that because, my school of thought is the less government involvement, the better it is.
Exactly.
That's where I come from.
I actually met a guy, and matter of fact, I interviewed him in my course. He was actually homeless, and he started, he took a little course, and he started wholesaling mobile homes. And what he would do is he'll find a free mobile home, he'll sweep it out, and then he'll sell it to somebody else. And then after he started building up his money, then eventually he started buying mobile homes that are more attractive, and he would just sweep it out. To this day, he has yet to rehab a mobile home. So basically he's just sweeping it out and selling it to somebody else. He was actually homeless. And he shows me his little apartment. He's downtown Dallas now. He's no longer homeless. You know, him and his daughter. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. So some people might think you might have some money to be in this business, but that is not true.
Well, that's impressive. I know that'll be a hell of an interview. Well, you've already interviewed him, though, I tell you.
Oh, I interviewed him,
but,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like to hear stories like that. We had a guy on, matter of fact, that's what inspired me to contact you. I had a guy I interviewed. He's in Oklahoma. And he was married, had four children, earning $4 an hour. And long story short, he ended up buying a mobile home for like $1,500. I think $1,500. Then he got another one that he bought and sold for something like $2,000, somewhere around there. $1,500 to $2,000, he sold it for $17,000. So that's what he does. And basically, he bought 2 acres to put it on, so he basically wholesales. That's what he does. You seem to be more detailed.
Well, I like to buy and hold my properties because I like to have that cash flow coming in. You know, I don't want to be riding around looking for homes. And, you know, sometimes I do that. But I like to basically sit on my couch and have that money coming in. That's what I like to do. So, but
now,
I'm telling you, if you...
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Now, I'm telling you, if you're very handy, I mean, you can buy these inexpensive mobile homes. And me and my brother, we stay on YouTube trying to figure out how to remodel mobile homes and this, that, and the other. But if you're very handy, yeah, you can buy these or get these free ones, you know, and move them down the street and, you know, put little lipstick on a pig. That's what we call it in the mobile home business. And man, you'll be cash flowing a lot of money if you're handy at fixing them up.
Well, I can tell you, we met at a tiny house workshop, but, you know, the money that I spent, you know, because you spent more money getting there than the actual workshop was that weekend.
Right.
But whatever I spent back then, 5 years ago, whenever it was, this podcast, what you're putting out here, it was worth it just to get up there to meet you.
The feeling is mutual because we've been staying in contact. You've been giving me a lot of ideas, so I appreciate that.
Let me see. I'm start with Craigslist later on this afternoon. I can tell you that. I'm assuming you're going to because you make pretty well with your your nursing business. I'm assuming you're planning on replacing your nursing income with your mobile home profits?
That is my plan. But right now, the main reason why I won't quit my job is because I want to eventually buy a park. And I want to show them, hey, I have the income. I can afford to buy this park.
Right.
And after I buy that park, I'll probably be out of here.
Okay.
That's my whole reason for keeping my job.
Yeah, you'll be in the stratosphere then. Sure, you'll be in the stratosphere. I know of somebody I knew years ago. They had a partner who talked about balling. They were driving around in a Rolls Royce. So, yeah,
well, I believe
how'd you make your money? And it was a mobile home park.
I believe it.
You know,
I believe this
is pre-internet. This is before the internet was out here and all the technology that we have today. Now,
right.
with these mobile home parks, are Are you noticing that are some of these parks allowing tiny houses into the parks? Because a lot of tiny houses are find it, you know, depending on where they are in the country, find it difficult to find a place to park. So are you noticing that?
Now, those type of parks, when there's a mixture of tiny homes, mobile homes, and then those RVs, I don't invest in those parks. Those, to me, are more low-end parks because they're letting anything come up in there. You know, next thing you know, you're going to let a guy sleep in his car up in there. So I like to, me and my brother like to invest in parks that are like for families. You know, nobody wants to see, you know, you got a tiny home here and then a mobile home here and then you have an RV here and then you got a guy sleeping in his car here. We don't like that kind of stuff. We like where it's for families. You know, they got a swing set. Maybe they got a basketball court and a nice little swimming pool maybe out there. You know, some kind of amenities, you know.
Right.
So we don't like to invest in those parks where there's no uniformity there. So that's more of a low-end park, and we probably wouldn't be interested in investing any money in that type of park.
All right. What about what I call niche markets, like maybe a park that's just for families or a park that is just for women?
No, I've never heard of that, but women. They do have parks that are for 55 and older.
Well, that's another.
They do have
the demographic.
Like, yeah, they do have 55 and older type of parks, but I've never heard of a park just for women or anything like that. But I tell you what, people always kind of frown about being in the mobile home business and going to the parks and this, that, and the other. I tell you what, these parks do not tolerate. I don't care if it's a low-end park. They don't tolerate that domestic abuse stuff or violence against women. Or any kind of sex offenders or any kind of anything against children, that's a sure way to get kicked out of the park. And we actually, me and my brother actually got one of our homes back because of a situation with some domestic stuff. They got kicked out of there. They had the SWAT team out there and everything. These mobile home parks do not play with that domestic stuff. If you call the cops, rest assured, you'll be out of that park.
What about a park? And the word I was looking for was demographics. And you can probably find this on YouTube if you haven't already. There are sex offenders out there. That
yes,
one
they
guy
are. That's,
set up,
that's in my course
mobile
as well.
Park. Okay. Or you're on top of it. Okay.
They do cater to sex offenders. Yeah,
right.
they cater to sex offenders because these people have nowhere to go. But by no means is a park that caters to sex offenders going to let a family move in that park, you know, with kids and all that kind of stuff. That's not going to happen. Yeah.
Right.
And, yeah, they do have parks that cater to sex offenders. So you are correct in saying that. And they are raking in the money. Whoever owns that park or parks, they are raking in the money because these people don't have anywhere to go.
Right. Right, I know down in Miami a few years ago, they had some people living under a bridge, and I don't know how they cleared that out, but somebody set up some kind of park somewhere down in it near the Everglades. Now, there are a lot of people, they call them returning citizens, people out of prison. That's another demographic. I guess you can set up a park just for those. You can set up a park any way you want to, I imagine. To cater to whatever demographic that you wish.
Right. But then you have to think about it. I mean, what neighborhood is that going to be in? You know what I'm saying? The whole neighborhood is probably the next question I had to ask. Are you going to really buy a mobile home in that type of area and put money into fixing it up? By the time you buy the little, you know, if you need to buy equipment or whatever, flooring or whatever, it's probably going to be stolen out of the mobile home by the time you get back to it. So would you really want to invest in that type of...
You don't want to be in a mobile home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that's the other question. Are most of these mobile homes, where are they? And Most of the mobile homes I've run across, well, Amy, you know what? I haven't even noticed a whole lot. The last one I actually noticed was in a rural area.
And that's where they put them.
Okay. All right. Rural areas. Yeah, that seems where the action is. Now, I was up in Chicago a couple of years ago, and I wasn't in the city proper, but I was on the fringes of the city, and I was surprised I ran across a mobile home park in that particular. I guess it was in Cook County, Illinois. But you're right. I consider people that live in mobile home communities, I call that the real United States of America. If you're living in a city like a Dallas, Fort Worth, San Antonio, Oakland, where you are, those areas, that's not the typical American.
Now,
as far as economics
go. Right. And I will say, out here in California, it's going to be hard to find a free mobile home. It's going to be hard to find an inexpensive mobile home. Matter of fact, I just helped sell a mobile home out here. The lady wanted $90,000 for her mobile home. Very nice mobile home. But you have to look at the cost of living. And by no means am I coming out of my pocket with $90,000. What I'm doing is I'm connecting the seller with the buyer. So even though it costs $90,000, I'm not coming out of my pocket with $90,000. I'm connecting the seller with the buyer, and that's it. When people see these large dollar amounts, they get scared. And don't need to be scared because I have no plans of buying a $90,000 mobile home when I could buy a $90,000 single family home in Texas. Why would I buy a $90,000 mobile home out here? That's crazy. So even if you're doing business where the cost of living is a little high, don't get sticker shock because you don't have to come out of your pocket with that money. You could wholesale it.
Right. Hills, Deals, and Wheels. How'd you come up with that brand name?
Well, back in the day when I was a little younger, I loved to wear heels. And the deals, I would say, are the deals of me and my brother doing mobile home transactions, the buying and selling. And the wheels comes from my brother liking fancy cars. So that's how we came up with that name.
That's an excellent brand name, particularly how you spell heels. All right. Oh, give us your social media contact info.
Well, I have an 800 number. It's 800-974-5580. You can either call me or text me, and I can respond back. My course is available on Vimeo. It's Heels, Deals, and Wheels Mobile Home Investing Course. I'm also on Instagram, also under Heels, Deals, and Wheels Mobile Home Investing Course. I try to post on there daily. I do have a Heels, Deals, and Wheels Facebook page as well. Or you can contact me on my personal Facebook page under Kelly Harden, and you'll see my picture there. It says I'm a registered nurse under there. You can contact me either way, and I'll be here for you.
Okay, all right. Now, you've rehabbed brick-and-mortar stuff. I imagine rehabbing mobile homes, is that a fraction of the cost of the brick-and-mortar stuff?
Oh, of course it is. The most expensive rehab we ever did cost me about $12,000, and that was a mobile home. We paid $3,000 for it. It was a four-bedroom, two-bath. If you ever get a four-bedroom, two-bath or a five-bedroom, two-bath, you're sitting on a gold mine. So I would say
let me write
just
that
a
down.
Little
you
bit
said
more
how
money.
Many bedrooms again? Four-bedroom, two-bath?
Four-bedroom, two-bath or a five-bedroom, two-bath. If you ever get one of those for a low price, just put a little extra money in that because you're going to be sitting on a gold mine. The least expensive, I think we paid right at $650, $800 to rehab it, one of our mobile homes. And basically, we had to replace a window and replace the carpet in the master bedroom. And do a little sweeping, and we painted the shutters. So I think we were out about $800 on that one. And we sold that within 6 days.
Mm-hmm. what are your favorite selling platforms?
You mean where do I like to sell my mobile homes?
Yeah, some people put a sign out front. Some people put it on Craigslist. Some people don't put it on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I put it wherever I can. However, in the park, sometimes they don't allow you to do a whole lot of advertising. So all you could do is put up a sale sign in the window. But I do like the Facebook Marketplace. Craigslist. I put it on Craigslist, eBay. What is it called? 5 Mile. You know, and you're always going to get tons and tons of inquiries. But the whole thing about it
is,
you know,
can you do it on Amazon yet?
I'm not sure about Amazon. I've never tried it on Amazon.
Some people sell tiny houses, tiny house kits on Amazon. So,
well, that's something I have to look into. But the whole thing is a lot of these parks do not accept people who, like I said, you know, crimes against women or sex offenders or you have some kind of criminal background. It's going to be hard for the tenant to get approved that they have that type of background. And if your credit, if your credit score is not where it needs to be, they're looking at least maybe 500 to 550. You might have an issue trying to get into the park because you need park approval in order to get in.
Now, what about pandemic or no pandemic? And I think by July 1st, things are changing right now. For people that are out here struggling, you know, to pay that rent to live in, let's say, Los Angeles or Chicago or Boston, I'll give you a prime example. Washington, D.C., used to be known as Chocolate City.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't chocolate no more. It went from 70% black to, I think, like 46% black, and that number is dropping. Because a lot of people that grew up in that city can no longer afford to live in that city. The property taxes are through the roof. So like I was telling somebody the other day, I said, look, you need to consider moving out of the DMV and move to West Virginia or Western Maryland, where it's less expensive. And then what you're talking about here today, mobile homes. So any words that you can pass on to urban people that are struggling to pay their rent, but if they moved out to a mobile home, they would get some relief. Any suggestions?
We have tenants all the time that are downsizing. They can't afford their homes anymore. And sadly enough, they realize they've been living above their means since this pandemic hit. You know, even nurses.
Right.
Nurses, you've been living on working overtime. You know what I mean? You can't do that because you're only guaranteed a certain amount of shifts. You know, and since this pandemic hit, even nurses are struggling. So, yeah, if you need to downsize, what better way to downsize than in a mobile home? I mean, you could Google it on go to YouTube, and there's a lot of people who tell their stories about how they downsize from a single-family home into a mobile home. And then, hey, when times get better, maybe you can move back into a single-family home later on down the road. Or maybe you'll just like living in a mobile home. To me, some of the parks that we invest in, I don't see anything wrong with living in it. I could live in it, no problem. But, you know, some people have caviar appetites and you only have Vienna sausage money. You see what I'm saying? So to me, there's nothing wrong with living in a mobile home. I have mad respect for people who do that, especially young people. You know, a lot of young people, they into all this old flashy stuff. But, you know, we have a couple of young tenants, you know, and they got kids and they're thinking about how am I going to save for college if I'm in this single family home that's costing me an arm and a leg. You know, they're looking down the line. You can't keep living for today. You know, you got to plan for the future sometimes.
Well, that's true because you have – now, I don't know what the – like, for instance, like in the D.C. area, I don't know what it's like down in your neck of the woods, in Dallas, Texas, or even the Bay Area. People might rent a room in somebody's house, and they're paying $500 to, in some cases, almost $1,000. Your suggestions to them on what they can do with that same amount of money if they downsize.
Yeah, case in point, I have three roommates here in California. We pay roughly $1,000 a piece. And then we have a friend that has a mobile home. She paid $45,000 for that mobile home. We've been here flying back and forth roughly 12 years. Okay, our friend's mobile home is paid for. We could be rent free, but right now we're stuck here paying $1,000 a piece.
Well, I imagine you're paying for the comfort and convenience of being where you are, though.
She's right down the street from a hospital that she works at.
Oh, well, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
And you can't beat that.
You can't beat that. Now, she will forever pay that lot rent, but her lot rent is nothing compared to what we have to pay here for rent for as long as we're here.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, I guess this is different from park to park, from city to state to state. What are some of the lower park rents you've heard of, as well as some of the highest park rents that you've heard of, and what do they get for that kind of money?
Well, some of the lowest I ever heard was maybe $250 for lot rent, and like here in California, you can go up to maybe a couple of thousand for lot rent. It just depends on where you're at. And, of course, for $200, you're probably not going to get any amenities. You're probably not going to have no gate. Trash is probably going to be everywhere. That's more of a low-end type of park, you know. So, of course, the higher end, you probably be in a gated community. You probably have a swimming pool, you know, maybe some a laundromat, maybe on site if your home does not have a washer and dryer inside of it. But the higher end, you know, you're going to have more amenities than you will the lower lot rent.
Okay. All right.
But can you imagine if you own the park and everybody is paying you $200 a month and you already own the park? I mean, that's some good money coming in.
That is.
Yeah.
So how many home parks do you expire on one day?
I'll be happy with one. I would really be happy. At my age, I'll be happy with one.
Okay. Well, you're going to live for another 100 years, so.
Well, I hope I'm still in my right mind if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, you will be. You know, learn a language or learn another language if you already know a language.
It's hard for me to remember English, let alone learn something else. So,
All right. Well, give us your contact information for people that want to get that course again, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay. So my course is hosted on Vimeo. It's called Heels, Deals, and Wheels Mobile Home Investing Course. If you have any questions, my phone number is 800-974-5580. I'm also on Instagram on Heels, Deals, and Wheels Mobile Home Investing Course. I'm also on Facebook, Heels, Deals, and Wheels Mobile Home Investing Course. Or you can contact me on my personal Facebook page, Kelly Harden, and it's spelled KELLIEHARDEN.
All right. And on a scale from 1 to 100, what are the chances of you organizing a live event to teach what you know?
With your help, a 10.
Oh, okay, all right.
Because you know more about live events than I do. With your help, a 10 all day long.
Yeah, I used to do 8 to 12 a month, and now I'm planning on getting back out there, particularly because this pandemic looked like it's winding down. So I want to get back out there, but I'm going to have to partner up with people to pull it off the way I want to pull it off. All right, well, I'll keep in touch on that. Any closing remarks before we go?
No, I just appreciate you interviewing me on your forum. I really appreciate it. I'm very flattered by the whole process.
Well, thank you, and I'll probably order that course myself, your course. Because, you're really waking. I can kick myself. I had access to, like I said, I met him, Lonnie Scrugg, years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I just always dismissed it. Because at that time I guess I was too, tunnel vision on. I started out doing 4-unit apartment buildings in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that in some other cities too. But then I just got tired of getting beat up on by tenants and the system and all that other stuff. So that's why I went to the rural areas. But what you're talking about, it'll be dramatically less money. And just the process seems a whole lot easier.
It is. And if you really think about it, this market is not saturated like single family homes.
No, God, everybody and their mother's in the single family homes.
Yeah.
They got gurus out of the yin yang with that stuff too.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, didn't you form, because I follow you from time to time, didn't you form an investment group like, 2 years ago?
No, I actually, that's when I was trying to do real estate.
Okay.
So we had a very small group, and I'm like, you know what, this is kind of too hard, you know.
Okay.
And I was not trying to be a real estate agent, so I said
it has to be a better way.
And I figured out a better way. And I'm gonna tell you the truth, if I would have known this before I went to college, I would have never gone to college, never.
You know,
I would never waste my time with college. Mm-hmm.
I feel practically the same way. I went to undergraduate school down in Texas, West Texas. It was called West Texas State University when I went there. Now it's West Texas A&M University, up in the Panhandle in Canyon, Texas, about 17 miles south of Amarillo. Now, I went on a basketball scholarship. But knowing what I know now, I think I would have probably and I met some great friends, lifelong friends in college. But I know what you're talking about, because this information that you're giving is more practical.
Right. And it's quick.
For one.
It's quick. Mm-hmm.
It's quick. And I would tell youngins coming up, particularly coming out of high school, at least, because I'm an advocate of the building trades now, like all those repairs you're talking about, I say, look, go take a course on be an electrician, a plumber, or whatever, because those building trades blend right into everything we've been talking about today.
Exactly.
Even, you know what?
AC.
Even nursing,
heating,
I would consider
it.
Heating. I'm glad you brought that up. How many people with their parks or their individual mobile home units, how many of them are going solar?
I haven't seen any, but I'm sure there's some out there. You gotta realize we're dealing with poor people. They're not trying to put no solar panel, and I'm not even sure.
Yeah, but
if
the
a
cost
solar
is
panel,
way
the
down
weight.
Now.
But I'm saying the weight of that panel, can it really, with the roof, I'm not really sure how that would work.
Well, you can do a ground mount. You can do a ground mount that doesn't even go on there, or you can have a mobile home park, and you can set up your own utility company based on renewable energy, which includes solar. So they buy all their power from you, and you cut out the utility company 100%.
But let me tell you something. Every tenant that I get, Kelly, I'm gonna pay this mobile home off quick. I'm gonna give you extra payments and blah blah blah. Out of all the tenants that we have, I'm actually ahead by 14 cents.
Oh, okay.
I mean, where's these extra payments y'all claiming y'all gonna give me? You know, so we're dealing with some real poor people here.
Well,
and then you would have to think, you would have to get the approval of the park in order to put something out like that, unless they have their own land. That's something different.
You know what? This is for when you get your park.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Matter of fact,
now you
got me thinking about getting my own park, and I'm not even in the game yet.
See?
As far as mobile homes go.
See?
Yeah, because I buy land. I buy it raw. I don't want no utilities. I don't want no municipal water. I don't want because I know how to do all that stuff myself, set it up. And but anyway, that's a whole nother podcast. On that note, thank you, Kelly.
Thank you so much.
You or the people that listen to you can replay this on the link I sent you within about 10 or 15 minutes after we conclude. Then it's archived for, like I said, I got 7 years worth of content on here, so you can post it on whatever. And I'll be in touch on setting up a live event.
Please do.
I guess I can go to Vimeo and just buy the course there, right?
Yes, you can.
Okay. All right. I'll be buying it real soon because I need to pick this stuff up.
Okay, then.
And,
maybe we can do something jointly.
We will. That's for sure. I got a, I'm thinking out loud right now. I got an interview. I don't know what I'm going to interview on. But it'll probably be within the next 2 months. With you familiar with Freeway Rick Ross?
No.
Have you seen the TV show Snowfall?
You talking about the rapper?
No, not that Rick Ross. Rick, have you seen the TV show Snowfall?
I've heard about it, but I've never watched it.
All right, Rick Ross, or as some call him, the real Rick Ross. They got a bunch of YouTube videos with him being interviewed. Vlad TV's interviewed him a bunch of times. A whole bunch of people, he's interviewed him. I'm going to have him on here in about 60 days. Rick Ross, his name got out there because at one time he was a king, drug kingpin. Crack, he sort of like... innovated the sale of crack cocaine. At one, according to federal sources, he was selling as much as Walmart makes in sales. He got arrested. Yeah. He had a connect with the CIA. And when he got arrested at 35 years old. And he couldn't read. He was illiterate. He learned how to read while he was incarcerated in prison out there in California. And he learned enough and then went to the law library. He got his case reversed. He's out now. He's written 2 books. He does a lot of interviews, and he's totally legit these days. But I'm interviewing, and the TV show Snowfall is loosely based on him. And you can go to Amazon and check that out. But the reason why I want to interview him is I want to get his business mindset and how he structured his network. Because what I'm looking at is taking some ideas of what he did and what you're doing. That's where I'm headed right now in life. You know, because you got a legitimate business model. And it's not saturated. And I like things like that. So, but check him out, Rick Ross. Not the rapper, but Freeway Rick Ross.
Okay,
and,
then. Let me know when you interview him.
I sure will. On that note, thank you, Kelly. You have a great weekend and great rest of the day. Talk to you soon.
All right, thank you so much.